It's my pleasure to welcome to the Solari Report two gentlemen, very special gentlemen. The first is coming into us from Holland, and Jeroen van Straten, who's the chairman of the Global BEM, that's the Breakthrough Energy Movement Group, who's putting on the conference in October in Boulder and put on an outstanding congress conference in Holland outside of Amsterdam last year, where Joel and I both attended. And the other gentleman is Joel Garbon, who's the president of the New Energy Movement. Joel is a industrial scientist by background and trade, and has been involved for many years in the chemical, pulp, paper, and water treatment industries. He's an inventor, developer, and author of a very good book, which I recommend to you, with investigative journalist Gene Manning, Breakthrough Power: How Quantum Leap New Energy Inventions Can Transform Our World. So, gentlemen, welcome to the Solari Report.
Well, thanks for having us, Catherine.
So,
thank you, Catherine.
Joel, tell us, how did you get interested in energy technology, and how did New Energy Movement happen?
Well, my background is as an industrial science consultant. So after about 15 years of traveling all over North and South America, helping to solve technical issues in the pulp and paper and chemical industries, it gave me a chance to be exposed to a lot of what goes on in the environmental scene and how those industries have impacted our environment. I mean, just as an example, you know, flying late at night over the Amazon on my way to sites in Brazil, and actually being able to see the forest fires that were raging through the Amazon, as well as having a chance to see deforestation, whole mountainsides denuded, you know, by logging activities for the pulp and paper industry, and, you know, chemically contaminated streams and rivers. You know, all of this was just stirring me very deeply with concern for what's going on our planet. And I think I was starting to go through a consciousness awakening of some sorts, you know, by the time I had, you know, reached, oh, I would say my early 40s. And I started to increasingly ask myself, and I would say even sometimes, you know, call out loud, you know, what can I do? What can I do to help? And I was becoming, you know, increasingly strident about feeling there's got to be something I can do. And I would say that I honestly had a personally profound mystical experience that answered that question of what can I do? And there was a very specific moment where I was in a quiet space, and I heard a voice speak to me very distinct from my own, and it said, "You're to help bring about a new form of energy on this planet." And now I'm a scientist and, you know, show me the data type of a person. And in my sense of startle from what I just experienced, all I could think of to say was, "Oh, you mean like solar energy?" And again, this just being a voice, if a voice can have the quality of a smile, that's exactly what I experienced. And that voice said, "No, not solar energy, but you'll see." And there was associated with all that just this amazing blanket of love and benevolence. And I simply said, "Yes, I will do this." And things started to happen very, very quickly then. And what I found was very soon I was in the midst of various inventors, some of whom were seeking me out for some reason that I couldn't put my hand on. And then I, in short order, was coming into contact with others who already were starting to or already had some history in promoting the new energy field, doing research, hosting conferences, one of these being Dr. Brian O'Leary. And, you know, Brian was a physicist, an Apollo-trained astronaut as well, And Brian had asked me to join with him and join with some others in starting a grassroots organization that would help to educate the public, the investment community, and media and policymakers about what's going on behind the scenes in breakthrough energy technology. And you know, we went through some of our early birthing pains, but in late 2003, what was born was the new energy movement. And I'm happy to say that for the last 8 years, I've been serving as the president of New Energy Movement.
Yaron, how did you become interested in energy technology, and tell us how Global BEM emerged?
When I was 19, I got a book from my brother from Eric, Words of the Gods, and that really got me in the ancient aliens, UFO, conspiracy, spirit topics. And I went to our local library, and I basically all the books that I could start. And a while later, my father into the energy question, because I realized that all these topics that I was reading about have one common denominator, and that was energy and the problems that we're facing on the environment, economics, poverty, health, you name it, and it's connected to energy. So I started to organize in 2008 on the secret space program, but that was more on a personal level, that I was very interested in that. In the end, also a part of entertainment, I think, for a lot of people. And I thought, no, this is not the kind of conferences that I want to organize. Then I got the insight that I should organize conferences for energy solutions and what all means for us in future technology. So that's basically what I decided in 2000. My first conference on Break for Energy was in Boston, and it was a huge success. So I want to grow, and I think that the place to be at this moment is the United States, because there's a lot of for these kind of topics. There's a lot of inventors, researchers in the United States. And I think if we really want to make it worldwide, if we can get the United States to be leading in that, then change will become much more quicker than I would only in Holland. So let's change the venue place, United States. And I didn't have a special experience. I was an outsider as a kid. I fitted in with my friends. I played soccer, and I had a lot of friends on school. So that was not a problem. I always felt different or out of place. And when I started reading those books and got the idea about organizing conferences, it was all leading up to something. Yeah, organizing these conferences and educating people about is what's the thing for me to do. That's basically my story.
Well, Joel and I were both in Holland, and I think we would both agree it was a huge success.
Yes, ma'am.
So let's turn to, I wanted to first sort of as a clearing start with the skeptics, because I just had a wonderful ally and friend over for the weekend who was railing at me. Why are you doing breakthrough energy? You know, solar energy gives us everything we need. This is a waste of time. Or other people who say this is, I have one partner who says, you know, every time you bring this up, I just laugh at you. He's a skeptical engineer. So we've all dealt with a lot of skeptics. Talk for a second about why we think this is an important topic relative to fossil fuels or renewals, and why we think that breakthrough energy is both a feasible solution and is very real.
Well, first off, I think that being a skeptic is healthy. Now, being dogmatic and fixed in a position in the face of data, though, is something completely different. And as a scientist, I do approach things skeptically, but also open-minded. And I can say for certain that in my own investigations of this field, that there are very real breakthroughs in energy technology that you know, a decade ago would have been thought inconceivable. I'll use just one example here, and that's what's gone on in the cold fusion genre of technologies. You know, whereas that term itself, cold fusion, became very quickly associated with, you know, junk science, and that's how it was branded in the media, and then promptly dismissed. But what we have seen is a very rigorous and robust worldwide research effort, fairly behind the scenes, but with very highly credentialed scientists, engineers, physicists, chemists, working on that field of technology, and who've really now delivered in various laboratories that span the globe, technology that is repeatable, it's robust, it's producing excess energy. So, and what I mean by excess energy is the amount of output from the reaction, in this case, generally as thermal energy, heat, significantly exceeds the amount of energy that's input into the process, which might have been, let's say, a certain amount of electrical input to start a reaction. And we're seeing this, you know, show up all over the world. It's been carried by mainstream news in some quarters, but not to a great extent, and certainly not nearly as extensive here in the United States as it is in some other countries that seem to be more embracing of these breakthroughs. And I think there's probably some, well, I think if you looked at countries that have a high dependence on outside sources for their energy, so those who don't really have any native reserves of oil or coal or natural gas or uranium, you know, they're the ones who really feel they have a much higher stake in some breakthroughs that can happen in the energy front and help lift them out of this total dependence on outside countries to keep their society fueled. So, you know, I just use that example of cold fusion to say, you know, there is something real going on, but it has really not been given its fair due because of a lot of historical baggage associated with that. That included some outright suppression, and much of that suppression came from the mainstream science community, particularly from the standard nuclear physics community, who was highly threatened by the announcement that essentially a very robust energy technology was arising from apparently nuclear reactions that produced no harmful radioactivity, and that could not be explained by conventional principles of physics. That was very, very threatening to mainstream academic science. And you have to remember that most of the scientific funding that goes on, at least in the United States, is happening in laboratories that are very dependent on grants, both from government and from corporate sources. And generally speaking, if you are really out on the far leading edge, it is not as safe a place to be as if you are doing incremental research. The science community as a whole is very, very conservative. They really don't want to be two or three steps out in front of the research wave, because the more they push the envelope as far as doing things that seem to go beyond conventional understanding, the more they're liable to be looked at as as crackpots or come under a lot of criticism. And,
or it's
and
dangerous.
History is replete with those examples.
Yeah, well, if you've ever watched any kind of knowledge or intelligence be suppressed broadly and watch the mechanics of how it happens, you know, you realize it can happen in any area. I was very excited, Joel, to see you're going to be speaking on standardizing new energy testing protocols at the conference.
Well, this is something that, while the topic itself may sound very mundane, it's some of these mundane kind of common sense themes that have been lacking from this field. It's easy to get excited about all the sensationalized promotions and news that come out. Oh, you know, we're going to have, you know, one penny a kilowatt energy because of this breakthrough or that breakthrough. And here's a whiz bang, something that's going to allow you to power your car on water and all this. And yeah, I mean, that is neat and exciting. One of the problems has been, though, is anyone who has searched the internet on something like just Google water as fuel, you will find hundreds if not thousands of YouTube videos that come up of various inventors making claims of this and that, and they're running this device or this car on water and blah blah blah. But what you find when research is brought to this true investigation, the vast majority of claims like that and claims on other supposedly free energy or over unity energy processes, most of those claims end up being invalid when they are, you know, put to real scrutiny. And a big reason for this is because the type of testing that is being done when the performance claims are made by the inventor, that testing often does not conform to well-accepted principles of measurement. And so it's very easy for well-intentioned inventors to think that they have something remarkable and breakthrough when really they've either done a measurement that is inappropriate for what they believe they have, or they've misinterpreted the results, or they have a poor understanding of the science itself and simply are going down an assumption and a path that really is not well grounded in good technical rigor. So having a set of standardized testing protocols that can be applied to this field as a whole will serve greatly to basically thresh out the technology claims that really have no merit and produce a much more concentrated stream of technologies of merit that can then be vetted using the exact same sort of protocols. And then the investment community will come in with a lot greater certainty, because generally the investment community has been held at bay because of the very, very high proportion of these claims that turn out to be bogus.
Right.
So if we can get a much richer stream of technologies that are really breakthrough and that deserve funding, you'll see the investment community step up to the plate, and these things will get accelerated to market much, much faster.
Right. I agree. That's why, to me, this is what I call a trim tab. It sounds like a small thing. It can make an enormous difference, and certainly for the investment side, it can make an enormous difference.
Yes.
So, well, let's turn to the program for October. Yaron, if you could just walk us through where we're going to be, what's going to be happening, and if you could discuss some of the topics that will be presented and who's going to be doing the presenting.
Yes. But first, take a step back and exactly those persons who approach you about wind energy, because I always get this too if I this topic mainstream or whatever I mean, always is about breakthrough energy movement is about solar and wind, and it's not that. The name is already been mentioned by Joel. Final Leary was also on me. His book and Joel is the energy solution revolution, he gives a breakdown why solar and wind are not the solutions of materials that have to be used. And if we're going to transform the energy grid for everybody in the world and wind grid, the raw materials that have to be used to establish that are in that sustainable. I see this as an in-between technology before we finally get the whole, and the Holy Grail is here, point energy, and those technologies who would tap into that. So, I think we're being led the wrong again because they're going on solar and wind. And again, I know the solution. But to answer your question on the program, okay, the difference is to be at the Boulder, Colorado University in Boulder, Colorado, of course. It's going to be from 10 to 12 October. It's a little bit off. It's from day until the 7th because we couldn't someday on university. This was such a big opportunity to do it on a university decision because what Joel just discussed about the standards and the protocol, it's very important that we get these kind of courses out of the the in crowd scene who already go to these conferences already for 20 years, and it's very we want to make the breaks with Global BEM to the layman on the street and universities and to the students because I think you need a bigger platform and a bigger from those groups of people to really make an impact. So,
I just have to, can I interrupt you for a second and tell you the thing that inspired me to come to Holland was I first spoke to you and you said that you wanted to connect and reach cab drivers. And I said, okay, now you're speaking my language.
my end is that everything is going to be recorded HD in a professional way. And we are creating for the future, creating a DVD that hand out on all universities for free, and students are going to be up to speed with break for energy or free energy within an hour. So that's why we have so many speakers because cover as topics in time that we have all that good document and this documentary, how do you call it, document, a video document within a year to educate people. Now, to the program, program is set up that we're going to have three themes and every day has its own theme. The first day is going to be the science and the technologies that we're going to discuss. So we're leading technologies like agriculture, hydro, cavitation, magnetics, and zero pole. That's basically full name for a lot of these technologies. Now, some speakers that are going to make those presentations are Mark LeClaire, Maura King, Russell Anderson, Jamie Janover, Inter, together with Jason Matos, Niebauer, Ruby Kerr, Sterling Allen, and of course, Garden. We'll get back on those later. And the second day is going to be thing on the implication. This is a topic that you almost never hear discussed on other courses on these topics. What's it going to mean for all of us if the first machine hit the marketplace? You know it's going to change on the health issues, economically, one. Need a big change economically to get out of this depression. So, yeah, we want to focus on those topics, social, cultural, especially, and this is a very important topic for me personally, consciously-wise, because we have to make a shift not only in those topics, also in our head for these technologies to come. And so that's the second day. The third day is going to focus on the movement itself, actively on working together on solution, on getting involved, but because mainstream media is very absent in this scene, it's of course it's not being discussed in politics. So those are the topics that we're going to focus on. That now we have two rooms. One is the Mackey Auditorium. We also got the old main chapel. That's a little bit smaller, but we're going to cover there a side. And on the side program, we're going to discuss things that maybe people never connected to the free energy or breakthrough energy scene, like 3D printing, like alchemy. Like funding, and we're also going to have a couple of who are garage researchers, Greece and Mark Bresci and Randy Powell, as who really do the hands off stuff in the garage and the printing of the free energy. So that's basically the program is short, and I find out that we're going to start off with an art or a musical program to set the rest of the day. That was very successful in Holland, and yeah, we want to do this again this year. And at the end of each day, we're going to have a panel interaction with the public. They are allowed to ask questions to speakers who were there that day. Sasha Stone and Mitchell Rabin are going to stand over the stage. And the main host for the Mackey Auditorium, and I'm very that she's writing, is Regina Meredith from Gaia and Conscious Media Network.
And she'll do a great job.
Yeah. She's very professional, and she's very in tune with these topics because she already interviewed a lot of the speakers on the program, and we also with Global BEM, we really want to reach out to the students and to the young people. Why I'm very happy that Jason Frobelli is going to be the second host in the old main event because young. In the scene, and that's why it's good. And Powell's and Rush Greases and some others are getting on to the scene because Just Thumbs, I didn't mention that yet. Change always universe and from most of the time when big changes, and that's why two speakers, Jay Over and Just Thumbs, who are going to talk about what art is the role big change. Yeah, we at Global BEM, we think this is going to be the next big thing after the internet. And change and do that always almost nobody on this topic yet. And so it's unbelievable. That this is going to be the next big thing, and almost nobody in mainstream or on the street knows about this. So that's why we want to make a change with Global BEM.
Now that you said the DVD, there's going to be a documentary, and it'll be handed out on universities. When will that happen?
When it's finished. But I wanted to do two conferences, so this is. Second one, and then I've got, then I think we've got enough material to both topics related to breakthrough energy. So the speakers will do a good job, and we can a lot of material and quotes from the presenters. And yeah, then it's putting it together. Now, Robert Dupper, He's a graphic and an audio guy behind the scenes. He already did a great job last year on the Hilversum footage. It's all online on Global Band Voices, and we're bringing out now free editions because they first were you first have to be a subscriber to see them. But we're now putting out the free presentations. And Catherine, you were one of the first to put out.
I saw that you put them out.
Yeah, and I think the quality is very good. Now, Robert Dopper is doing everything himself, so that's why it takes so this conference, we're going to have a much more professional team putting conference, so it's going to save time. And then they, that's missing in the equation, and, we need funds to distribute these DVDs on all universities around the world.
Now, everyone can see the program and learn more at your website at globalbem.com, correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah.
And we also got a link to our ticket page there, and there's also a link to our Indiegogo campaign that is running right now to make this conference happen. I want to clear one short thing about that. Because of questions from people, and you're selling a lot of expenses for the conference in there. But the moment that we get in, it's already too late for the conference because you have to pay a lot of things up front.
Yeah.
To and we are a foundation with peers. The funding is just not that. So that's why we're looking for sponsors and for people. If they can donate $5 or $10, it's great. Everything. And so that's why.
And you can donate at your website.
Yeah, if you go to our home on the right hand side of the homepage, there's an Indiegogo click. Logo directs you to our Indiegogo. Then you can pay there by credit card or PayPal.
Okay. And I would just mention that to Salary Report subscribers, we will be having a luncheon for subscribers on Saturday. So hopefully you can meet a lot of the subscribers who attend. Okay, next steps. What can a person do? I know I'm a lay person, and often when I've sat down and contemplated, you know, what was Nikola Tesla really talking about, or when I read Joel's book, you know, I find it overwhelming enough to deal with a utilities company, let alone contemplate what is this stuff, what do I do about it. But why don't you walk us through what can one person do to learn about this, to get the conversation to the next level. Give us break down a couple of steps that each person listening to this can take. They can go to the conference, but let's say they are not able to. Can you give us a pathway as to what one person can do to learn more and get involved?
Sure. I think, Catherine, that this all starts around education. And this is largely the reason why New Energy Movement was established. It was to reach out to the mainstream, non-technical public and make them aware of what's going on behind the scenes. And part of that is having people understand the implications of whether we stay on our current energy trajectory or we choose to make a course correction. Because if we stay on the current path, it doesn't really look too good for planet Earth and humanity. And anyone who pays attention to what's going on in the world as far as wars over resources, whether it's the environmental degradation of the air, the oceans, the forests, rivers, if we look at what's going on as far as the huge disparity in living conditions between, you know, the 0.1%ers and those below the 50%, I mean that the gulf there is just tremendous. And speaking of golf, these large catastrophic devastating impacts on the ecosystem, like what happened in the Gulf of Mexico, or like what's happening and continues to happen at Fukushima. You know, it's poisoning the Pacific Ocean. I mean, come on. These are huge, huge things that people can't tune out, and they need to become aware of these things. The point here is everyone is a stakeholder in what direction we take on little planet Earth as far as our energy sources. The way to get educated on this is start with some basic materials. The Breakthrough Power book that Gene Manning and I authored was written specifically for the mainstream non-technical public. It's something that can easily be read and understood, not only a little bit of the science, quite a bit about the personalities of the inventor community who are doing a lot of this novel work, but very heavy on the implications and how people can get involved. You know, another way people can get involved is to do things like attend a conference like we're speaking here at the University of Colorado in October, the Breakthrough Energy Movement Conference. But you also can go to some websites. You can go to the newenergymovement.org website, again, newenergymovement.org, and you can start to see what some of the links are, various articles there. There's many, many resources that you can find. Some other good ones to check out are the Sterling Allen's website, which is PESWiki, PESWiki.com, PESWiki.com. He has a daily news service that reports on various aspects of the breakthrough energy scene. That's very interesting. And there's a huge catalog on his site and other sites about things that have been going on for the last several years. And there's great great resources to provide links to other things. But the other part of this is to start paying attention. We hear about a lot of the kind of same repetitive things in the news, and you know, it tends to have to do with kind of big politics, big corporate, big financial institutions, and then a lot of drivel about the personality cults in our society. This Hollywood star is doing this, you know, trivial thing, and the royals are having a baby and all this kind of stuff. You know, there's actually some very substantive things that are going on behind the scenes that it pays for people to pay attention to those.
And they're unbelievably positive.
Oh, yes.
You have wonderful people doing amazing things that could make a huge difference. And I think one of the reasons, you know, that I appreciate what both of you are doing is both New Energy Movement and Global Them are saying, hey, lay people are welcome. You don't have to be a scientist. You don't have to be an engineer.
Exactly.
You know, you can be an artist and make a contribution and be welcome and be involved.
Absolutely. And the kind of binding thing amongst all of these people are that they are dedicating their own personal skills and talents to being of service to a planet. I mean, we're talking about the stakes for our whole civilization here. And we're teetering right now. We really are teetering. And yes, it can be kind of dismaying to see, you know, some of what's going on, and people can even go into despair because it seems like, you know, what can I do?
Well, but here's the thing, Joel. When I was in Holland, I came back from, everybody came left so rejuvenated because
yes.
you spent a couple days with, you know, a very diverse group of people, but everyone was into service and everyone was doing something positive.
Yes.
And when you just looked at the accumulation of all these positive things that were going on, you said, wow, there's a whole new world being born. This
you,
is great.
You bet. And it's contagious.
It's contagious. It was contagious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's why I want to go to Boulder, because I want to get some more of that.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, you know, the funny thing is that as amazing as all this stuff is, even if someone came there with an incredibly jaundiced and dogmatically skeptical eye, they will come away with more cocktail material to speak to their other skeptical friends about what they witnessed and heard and observed. It's just amazing. But see, we know there is truth here.
Right.
And I personally I've seen it. I have many relationships with the inventor community. I've seen some amazing things that simply are need more support to make it out into the public domain and have the real social benefit that is so pregnant. And it's coming. It is coming. It is coming, folks.
I just have to say what compels me, because in the I come from the investment community, and in the investment community, under U.S. law, if you fail to tell someone something they need to know, if you fail to disclose something that's material to their decision of investing time or money, that's a material omission, and that's a that's a fraud.
Yes.
That's a criminal violation to omit some information. And I don't know, I'm certainly not a scientist or an engineer, but I have certainly seen UFOs, as of most people that I know, including my neighbors here in Hickory Valley, Tennessee. And one of the things I know is they're not gassing up at Exxon. So I keep saying, who are those guys? And I know whatever is powering, those ships, and, whether they're coming out of Area 51 or someplace else, they are not operating on fossil fuels. So somebody's running around this planet with this stuff. I know it's here. And to not delve into that, to not face that, to not talk about that, to me, that's a material omission, something I can't do as an investment advisor. So,
well, that's true. Now, I'll speak to that topic just very, very briefly here, because clearly there is strong relationship between advanced energy systems and advanced propulsion systems.
Right, exactly.
If people entertain the idea that there's intelligent life throughout this universe, which is just a mathematical certainty. It's not a probability, it's a mathematical certainty. And many of these would be less advanced than Earth culture, other would be more advanced. And in order for those cultures to travel interstellar distances, they would already have developed and be using an energy technology that can tap into that source of energy anywhere in space-time. It would be non-polluting. It would be infinite in its source, inexhaustible, and essentially free. And they've learned how to do that. Now, if what people have been seeing, and tens of millions of people, if what they've been seeing in the skies has nothing to do with visiting cultures, but is an Earth-based, humankind-derived technology, and it's being showcased to the global population through these advanced projects, black budget projects, covert programs, whatever, that also implies that humankind has already discovered these technologies of free energy and advanced propulsion, but have not used them for a social benefit.
Right.
These have been funded by taxpayers around the globe. They've been funded by by various illicit economies, whether it's drugs or sex slavery or whatever. But these things are real. So either way it is, if there's intelligent visitors who are traveling across space, or if there's human invented and derived technologies that simply have not been disclosed to the public, they both imply the same thing. Advanced energy systems that are clean and inexhaustible, and advanced propulsion systems that allow us to explore the stars. So,
right.
So to me, this has great relevance to everyone who's alive on planet Earth right now.
Right, and to connect those dots. Your own?
If add one thing to that, this energy technology or free energy was shown to billions of people on live television when night happened, because those towers. And I know very controversial, but there's a lady on program in Hilversum, Dr. Judy Wood. If people would spend 2 hours and watch the presentation, find out what was a break for anything, it was a display that these exist.
Yeah, Your Honor, one of the ways I first came to this was on work, doing financial work on the black budget, and I finally came to realize the extraordinary amounts of money that had been going to develop advanced technology, which had been kept secret to the American people. So this is all, I think for many of us, this is all part of connecting the dots. Well, this has been a wonderful conversation. Before we close, if you could just both tell us how to keep up with you, and again, Jerome, if you could walk us through how to sign up for the conference, that would be terrific. So, Joe, why don't we start with you?
Sure. You can follow the work of New Energy Movement at newenergymovement.org. And I encourage you to get the Breakthrough Power book, read it, share it. You can find that book either at the newenergymovement.org website, or the book has its own website called breakthroughpower.net.
Your own?
Oh, people can find us at bem.com, and it's spelled with an E from energy. And you can click the tickets here, and that will direct you to a website from the who of all the ticketation. And a second web we have is Global Bem Voices. And we have a lot of new stuff on there. All the presentations from there can be found on that website. Randy from Radio just did his interviews for a podcast. It's called Transmit. And Gmail, the co-author of the book Breakthrough Power, was the first guest, and Pastor Gamble, who was also was the and we've got a new magazine it's called Pulse. So through our website you become a subscriber to our new there's one more thing that I would like to mention. We got a lot of help from our new friends from in Canada, and they provided a totally forum and web shop that people can visit and get a lot of information from. There's a lot out there, so please visit our website, global.com.
So I just want to stress again that the three of us will be, and you mentioned Foster Gamble, who's been on the Solaria Report several times. We'll all be out at Boulder from October 10th to 12th, and we'd love to see you. And one of the things I can tell you from being in the conference at Holland is everyone is remarkably accessible. So if you want to talk to any of us or you want to talk to any of the amazing inventors and scientists on the program, it's a real opportunity to get access and to have a chance to meet and greet. And as I said before, I know how inspiring it was to be around that many positive people doing positive things in Holland, and I know this one is just going to be that much better. So, gentlemen, I can't thank you enough for joining us, and I can't thank you enough for everything that you're doing in the world. You're making an enormous difference, and we appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Catherine, and the same as far as you and your work. Great, great stuff.
Thank you for the opportunity on your show, we're in October.
Okay. Have a great day.